Hey, Rockers, welcome to another episode of Fans in Motion, the Ultimate Night Ranger and Rock Podcast. This week, we got the man, Mr. Kelly Kagi of Night Ranger, sits down with me. This is an episode that you guys have all been waiting on. A lot of new listeners to the podcast, a lot of new people to the Fans in Motion fan page. So those that are new, about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we sat down with Kelly and we did an extensive three-part interview with Kelly. If you go to fansofmotion.com or you just go to the Fans of Motion page on YouTube, they were episodes, I wrote them down here, 43, 44, and 45. So those three interviews covered basically his youth all the way up to the release of Dawn Patrol. And then this week, we basically pick up with the release of Dawn Patrol. We go into all the details. We talk about individual songs, the record. We'll get into over the next couple weeks. We get into, you know, how did you decide which song to play and not play. We talk about or to, not play, but which songs, you know, would Jack sing or you sing. We talk about the tours with Kiss, the tours with Sammy Hagar. So this time that this interview that we sat down, I'm going to divide it into two parts. So this is going to be part one. So sit back, strap on that safety belt, and enjoy part one with Kelly Kagi. All right, everybody. Welcome back, Kelly Kagi. Boom Boom, as they call him in the business. Kelly, thank you for jumping back on Fans in Motion. It's been a while, brother. It's been a while, but I know, man. I appreciate you coming back. And for everybody, listen, we on those previous interviews that I talked about at the beginning of this episode, it gets us right up to the release date of Dawn Patrol. Now the release date, Kelly, is kind of up in the air. We don't know the exact date. It's lost to time, but we think it's towards the end of November. So you have, you know, the records coming out, Boardwalk Records. You had done work in, you know, nice studios before with Rags and obviously doing demos with Stereo and then with Ranger.
Well, but you should have seen some of those studios. Some of those studios we did demos in was the size of a postage stamp, you know.
What about the studio for the Budweiser commercial that you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually, it was just a home studio in the garage, you know.
Somebody's, it
might have been Jesse's studio. Might have been. Jesse, I'm not sure, actually.
Jesse Harms from, yeah. Okay. So the record's released in November. What do you remember from that? Because this is your first big commercial release. Do you have any thoughts of, did you go into a record store and see if you could find it? What does it feel like to, because you'd been grinding for probably 7 or 8 years at that point to become not a rock star, but a working musician and get that record deal. You finally get that record in the store. What do you remember from that time period?
I just remember, you know, the pre-release that they were doing. They had, you know, some commercials that they had written at the record company to advertise, you know, on radio, of course, this is radio. You know, we were listening to some of that stuff. We were hearing the songs start to get played on radio stations, especially in the Bay Area. There was two or three radio stations that were playing it, you know, and Kate, you know, I think it might have been KSAN, which was one of the older stations. But I think some of the other stations, and right now, I can't recall what the call letters were on some of those stations. But I do remember just dialing and hearing the, you know, two or three of the songs being played. And that's that impacted me. Like, I couldn't believe that we were actually getting this airplay, and it was two or three songs. And back in the day, radio did that. They would go deep in the record and play songs that they thought, you know, instead of, you know, being force fed by the record company one song at a time, they did whatever they wanted. They would play three or four songs, you know, especially on the second record when that came out, they were playing, you know, about four tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that was amazing to us. And then knowing that we were planning a tour of Japan, so, and we were, you know, we were like, oh man, we're going to go out of the country with this thing, you know, and doing some of the promotion, the Japanese record company, which was Pioneer on the first one, came over and did some interviews and, you know, and did some pictures. They wanted their own photographs and stuff like that for their label release over there. So we were really caught up in a lot of, you know, a lot of commotion, a lot of stuff, you know, to prepare for this whole full release. So the record hadn't really come out yet, but we were doing all this activity for weeks ahead of time, you know.
And then, I mean, and it's amazing because you got to get to that point. I mean, you have this record coming out at the end of 82, but 82 wasn't an easy year for Night Ranger. You guys were signed to Boardwalk Records. Neil Bogart was president, you know, owned that label. Neil dies in May of 82. Your lead guitarist, Brad Gillis, is picked up by Ozzy Osbourne right around the same time to replace the great Randy Rhoads. So, you know, you have these ups, but also right with it, you're having these kind of, you know, obviously downs. Talk about how you guys maneuvered, you know, with Neil Bogart's death in the present, how that impacted your release. And then, you know, is your lead guitarist coming back? I mean, you don't even have your first album out yet, and you're already thinking you're going to lose a key member.
That's right. I mean, and it happened very quickly. I mean, Brad and I were playing, you know, like some club dates with the Alameda All-Stars and on the weekends. And so, we were just doing that, trying to stay busy, trying to, you know, like get together with the guys during the week and write songs or jam out stuff. And so when we heard about Neil being sick, and we also heard that Bruce Byrd, the vice president, had brought our tape into him while he was in the hospital and left it with him. And then the next time he went to visit him, Neil was saying, I like this band. Who are these guys? You know, what are you planning on doing? You know, asking him these questions. And, you know, and Bruce was like, you know, hinting that he wanted to sign us, but that he hadn't gotten any further with that because we were concerned about you, you know. And he just, you know, so that was some of the things we were hearing through Bruce Byrd before they signed us. And then Brad, you know, got the call about, you know, after we had heard about Randy Rhoads. I'm not sure what the timeline was between Randy passing, and they were basically sitting somewhere on the road just trying to figure out what they were going to do, you know. So the tour was all out there. They were all out there waiting. They were all in hotel rooms and stuff. And I remember Brad talking about going there and auditioning for Ozzy in a hotel room, you know.
Yeah.
And so all that stuff was going on kind of behind the scenes while we were, you know, hearing about Neil Bogart on our side and, you know, what's going to happen. So we were just kind of in limbo there, you know, at that point.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's just, you know, and we'll get farther into it, but it just seems like whenever Night Ranger has this momentum, there's something else kind of tying it up. And in this time frame, it's Neil Bogart's passing, Brad, going from basically being an unknown to being thrust out there,
Gone.
on a headline tour. So during, all this 82, putting this record together, you guys, like you said, during the week, you guys are fleshing out songs, putting stuff together. At that time, you had a few songs that didn't make the Dawn Patrol record, Diary of a Madman being one. Do you remember just your thought process on some of those tracks? On, did you know right away, these ones aren't as good as these 10? Or did it, did some, like Diary of the Madman, which, is, I think, one of the better ones that didn't make the record.
Right.
Did it get to the point that, that you maybe recorded it for Dawn Patrol but never used it?
Recorded on demos, yeah. Before Pat Glasser came along, though, we had a bunch of songs on demos, Like you mentioned earlier, you mentioned like, what was it, like Hang On,
Hang On.
Using that, on a ladder record, the last 10 years, we used that, that idea, Diary of a Madman, too. That was a totally different song. Like it was played differently. It turned out to be Touch of Madness, and I think we brought all those songs to the table when Pat Glasser was going to, start picking songs that he wanted to represent the band on a demo. And I think that was just one of the songs that just didn't really do it for him, because the producer, really is the deciding factor in what songs, especially Pat, God rest his soul, he put up the money for us to record those first four songs that were going to end up being on that tape that they gave to Neil Bogart. So he got, he was, able to kind of hone in on the songs and figure out which ones to put on this four song demo. And so that's how it ended up being shuffled, to one side or another.
And we're going to get into Pat Glasser and his impact on Night Ranger down the road a little bit. So don't think if you're listening that we're kind of glossing over Pat Glasser. We're going to give him his time and due when we kind of are able to talk about the three records that he produced. I want to go into, I want to touch on some of the tracks and just basically, I just want your thoughts on them, maybe the songwriting process, because a lot of people may, maybe just aren't aware. I mean, you have, four co-writing credits on this record. You sing half of the record, like most Night Ranger albums, though. But the first one I want to hit on is obviously one of the Night Ranger classics, probably, I would say, is up there, probably the most played next to Don't Tell Me You Love Me, because it's been played on every tour, is Sing Me Away, a song that you and Jack wrote together.
Yeah, the story that I usually, it brings up the memory of that song is when Jack and I were writing that song. I showed him the idea, and we were working on the song while we were working with his mother-in-law, and we came up with up with the idea about the second verse. What do you see when you look in the mirror, right? And so he had this idea, and he was just like so excited about it, So we got distracted with, with that, and we were working with his mother-in-law, setting up like a photo shoot, and she saw us sit down in an antique chair and just went absolutely ballistic. Because we were in the D. Young Museum, and so they had all sorts of alarm systems in it. And suddenly, like, the security guys are running over going, "What are you doing?" And Jack was like, "Here's this idea," and we're like totally engulfed in that. And these guys are like, "Get out of that chair, That's a 17th century chair. You can't be,
Little do they know, an iconic rock song was being created right there. And again, it's one of those songs that even to this day is still in almost every Night Ranger set. Definitely a fan favorite. You know, I caught a lot of shit on one podcast episode where I was like, I think you could cut Sing Me Away and put something else in there. And I was definitely told that I was insane and that was not even possible. Another
I'm with you though. I'm, you know, Josh, I'm with you. I want to mix it up and just, you know, like start with like, you know, something that nobody would ever expect. That's how we, I think that's how we got to the point of, you know, of having like, you know, one of our big hits be the opener, you know, because we would do opening slots and we just wanted to have more impact. And so it came up that, you know, it's like, why don't we just start with Rockin' America? You know, now that's like, you know, been going on for three or four years, you know. I mean, you know, I'm with you, man. I want to just bring in all these deep tracks, but you're limited on amount of time with that, you know. You just are. People get up and go to, you know, it always happens, you know.
Yeah.
So like,
I think
man,
this
I got up and went to get a beer, like when we
I think the song I argued that could take it, you know, its place, you know, as the second song was Interstate Love Affair. Whereas like it's heavy, it's got that hook, Kelly sings it, it's got that kind of like Sing Me Away where it's got the the dual guitar, Interstate, you know, but again, Sing Me Away has been on the greatest hits, everybody knows it. Interstate Love Affair, not as well known.
You know, I mean, back in the day, that's how it got, even though it wasn't a hit, it was released as a single, did a video on it, you know, it got played on MTV. I mean, you know, so that kind of coverage just takes precedent, you know, it just goes, you know, I mean, I'm with you.
Well, one thing, and again, here's where we'll get sidetracked. You were talking about Rockin' America being that opening song. One thing I always thought was cool that you guys did like that was on the Man in Motion tour, you guys opened with Touch of Madness, right? Kick-ass rock song. And then you went right into song number two was When You Close Your Eyes. And, you know, I mean, it's like, who thought that that would... Who thought that that would be the second song? And, you know, but it worked. And, you know, so, and.
Now, it's like eventually we started to realize the impact of the songs. You know, when you're a new band, you just want to play all the songs, you know, let's play all of them. Like, you know, but you have no idea where to put them in the set, you know, and you just figure it out as you're playing it. You hear the reaction you get and you go, wow, you know, and then you end the set with some other obscure song and you're not getting that, you know, and you're like, wow, what did we do there? You know, oh, we need to switch that up. You know, you've seen us in there, you know, in the dressing room at the last minute. We're like, no, let's take that one out and put this in.
Well, not even that. It's what was it? You know, I'll take a picture of the set list before the show. And, you know, kind of, you know, I got to kind of set up before a song. So what I do is I kind of do something like record a song. And then the second, you know, the next song, I move to where I want to go for the third song, let's say. And so I don't know what it was just recently, but the song I was setting up to record was a Jack song. And so I was getting his page all ready to record. I got, you know, I'm centered on Jack and, you know, Jack said, all right, we're going to make a change. Here's Penny. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, well, I got to you know, I can't, you know, it takes, you know, 30 seconds to, if even at my quickest, to get out of Jack's page, go to Kelly's page, go to the live, make sure the camera is set up right. And so, all right, Jack wrote it, I guess. So we'll go live with Kelly, you know, on Jack's page. But yes, that's how much you guys change that set list, that even me backstage taking a picture right before you go on stage, you know, you guys throw me for a loop.
Probably should be there and walk out with us because
I'll just
between the dressing room and the side of the stage, everything could change.
Yep, definitely. So another track that's a Kagi Blades co-write is At Night She Sleeps. What's your what do you remember about that track and what you
I
know?
you know, mostly Jack probably wrote it, and I probably inserted a couple of things, you know, like it might have been like At Night She Sleep ham. Wow, I'm just making, you know, something in the chorus probably, you know, or you know, it might have, it's hard to figure it out because it was like 1980 or something,
Well,
you know. But we used to get together, like I remember sitting there playing you know, an acoustic guitar and doing the intro to Eddie. It's like just goofing off of that. And that ended up being a verse, you know. I mean, I think that's probably as far as it got, you know. I
Well,
mean,
let's transition right into Eddie because again, that's a Kagi Blades co-write.
Right.
And so it's interesting just you know, I think a lot of people when they think, you know, they hear Jack singing, that's a Jack song. When they hear Kelly singing, that's a Kelly song. And maybe they translate, you know, with the songwriting each way, but it's like I said, I don't, you know, with you having to co-write on Eddie,
I mean, I'm probably, you know, it's probably lucky that I got my, you know, my name on there. You know, I mean, you know, when you're writing, you're just, it's a stream of consciousness, you know. So whatever happens, you know, if something works, great, you know, that's awesome. You know, oh, we're using that part, you know. So that's how it works with songwriting. It's not always like half and half, you know. I
And
mean, there must have been something really good that I put in there that worked. And that's what I think it was. Is
is
those
that
chord changes, you know.
the chord changes at the beginning? I think one thing the podcast has done is enlightened people what the tenderloin life is, to where, you know, me being a 7-year-old kid having that record, I thought you got the tenderloin life was like, hey, you guys have come into some cash and you're able to enjoy tenderloin sandwiches. And eventually we learn that the tenderloin is a area in San Francisco. There are a lot of people we have educated on that part. Now, maybe one of the oldest Night Ranger songs out there, and you can confirm or correct me again, another Kagi Blades co-write is Young Girl in Love. Now, that was that song something you guys had back in the stereo days?
No, Penny definitely was a song back in stereo. Eddie, we were messing around with Sister Christian, but Young Girl in Love, I don't think so. I think that one came along with one of those, you know, afternoon sitting around trying to, you know, come up with songs, you know. Young Girl in Love is, you know, it actually got released as a
Yes,
single
it was the
right
third.
as Boardwalk went, you know, belly up. I don't think they even played it on the radio, you know.
It was the third single. And I think maybe the reason why I always wondered if it was a stereo record, because you guys talk about stereo kind of having that new wave sound. And to me, Young Girl in Love, to me, it has more of that sound than maybe some of the other tracks. Yes, Young Girl in Love was the third single
I remember
released.
seeing the actual, you know, single, and
Yes.
I remember what was on the flip side. Do you have a single
I do.
Of Young Girl? Because I don't even think it got put out.
Yeah, it's actually harder to find a stock copy of Young Girl Than Love than a promo copy. More promo copies were produced than the stock copy, which that's the case on some records out there. So Young Girl in Love, here's a quick little story. When I was trying to figure out the exact date of the 40th anniversary release date of Dawn Patrol. I contacted you, Brad, and Jack, hoping that maybe one of you could remember, like, I remember it came out on my Aunt Vera's birthday. And my Aunt Vera was born on November 16th. And unfortunately, I didn't get that. But Jack was like, I got some stuff still from Boardwalk.
Right.
Maybe it has a date on that. And I think we were talking on the phone. I think he sent me a picture of it too. But he's like, here's a box. Maybe this has it on there. And it was a box of 45 singles from Young Girl in Love, which I told him, I go, it's very cool. But unfortunately, that's probably middle of 83. And he did actually find a date, June of 83, on there.
Yeah.
Yes, that was released as the third single. Again, right when, which we will get to down the road, the record label going out of business. Another song I want to kind of talk about is Penny, a song that's still occasionally thrown into the set list, even today. So Penny, written by Jack Blades, but it's a track that you sing. Now, my own personal theory is, now most of you guys know that, and Jack tells a story that Jack used the name Penny. Penny is a friend of his wife's. And he used that name, and he jokes around about his wife giving him shit for, why are you writing a song about Penny? And I kind of picture it in my head that Jack realizes, I wrote it, and if I sing it, my wife's never going to let me get out of the doghouse. So he's probably like elbowing you and saying, hey,
I'm gonna take this one.
Kelly, I got a song
off of me, buddy.
But explain that, you know, process to me. And again, it's probably real easy. Feel is probably the answer. But there are songs that really stick out of my head that are so, when I think of them, I think of your voice. Penny, Why Does Love Have to Change? Obviously, Sentimental Street Goodbye, which are Jack, you know, written stuff. But you have the vocal. Just explain that process of that decision making to where it comes up to, like, hey, let's have you. How was that, Fims? Kelly Kagi, the man, Dawn Patrol, part one. Listen, if you haven't already subscribed to the Fans of Motion YouTube page, go on there, click subscribe, you know, follow it on all the, you can listen to it on, you know, Spotify and, what, all the other ones out there, you know, Apple Music and iHeartRadio. Anyways, get out there, follow all those, make sure you're following us on Facebook and Instagram and Threads and Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called nowadays. We got a lot of, you know, exciting things on all of those pages. Do me a favor, if you're wherever you're listening to this at, if you're listening to it on AudioMac or on Facebook, you know, leave a comment. Tell us, you know, what you liked about the episode. If you, you know, what you didn't like. If you didn't like something about the episode, don't leave a comment. But if you like something, leave a comment. Let us know that you're listening out there. All right. So like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And listen, next week, part two with Kelly Kagi. All right, guys, we will see you next week. Later.